shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendrick.
A failure to act responsible at the federal level will only open the door to...
It only really gets corrected when heads roll.
Myers also wrote, how about next time, let him mow the grass or...
I wanted to be part of this because I know a lot of people that do drink and drive.
We must be ready all the time for the atomic bomb.
It's Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome back here to the Looking Glass. And every night across over 100 affiliates and growing, we do this, and we do it on our website at philhendryshow.com. Go over, check out our live streaming video and our live audio. And in fact, right now, just a stupid thing that I did, I put a picture of myself up on our news feed wearing fake glasses. Why? I don't know. I noticed I had three pairs of glasses here. One of them was a pair of fakes that I used as a prop for one of our Sunday videos. And so I took a picture of myself. It is now on our news feed. So if you want to see what I look like, if you haven't been, if you're not, you know, if you're not listening to the show or viewing the show on our website, go ahead and check out the website, and you can see these pictures that we put up, which are pretty goofy. Also, we have a listener in Miami who has done some amazingly creative things and involving images from our show, and we have some of those pictured up there, too. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And the story, as we were mentioning this evening, it's a very interesting one from Missouri, Jefferson City, Missouri, where a gentleman who is a clerk, my understanding, is some kind of a Missouri man who's a convenience store clerk. He won a $258 million Powerball jackpot. Unreal. And I say that and I mean it because I can't even imagine somebody laying that on me. I don't play those games, you know? I mean, I mean that in quite the literal sense, not in the figurative lifestyle sense. I don't really play those games, you know? No, I don't play those games. I don't do that kind of stuff. Anyway, a Missouri man who won $258 million Powerball jackpot. He plans to use some of the money to pay bills, replace his two front teeth. That's right, replace his two front teeth, and take his children to Disney World. And he said he hasn't decided yet if he'll quit his job at the convenience store where he bought the winning ticket. Chris Shaw, he's 29 years old, the tattooed father of three, who was raised by his grandparents in rural southern Missouri, came forward Thursday as the winner of the 10th largest Powerball jackpot ever. Said he had just $28.96 in his bank account and recently bought a 1998 Ford Ranger from a friend who agreed to let him pay off the $1,000 price $100 at a time. Now he said he no longer has to worry about how he'll pay his friend. I guess not, my brother. $258 million, man. Your worries are over. Your financial worries are over. Do you understand? Do you realize, for instance, I'll give an example. They say that today, anybody retiring today, you need between, this is going to sound a little scary, it's going to sound a little daunting, you need around $5 to $10 million. $5 to $10 million. I could be wrong. Maybe I've got that number wrong. But they say you need, it's a significant amount. It's either 5 or 10. But, I mean, you need like, bank. You need seven figures, and you need a mid-seven to, you know, a low mid-range seven figures. So, anyway, this guy has $258 million, even with the taxes taken out. Let's say it's running at 50%, which it probably is. He's got $175 million, something like that, $180 million. Oh, my God. You are now richer than some of the more formidable and well-known millionaires among us. I know today we have billionaires, but we also have millionaires, and millionaires are still, you know, that's pretty hip to be a millionaire. It may not be a billionaire, but millionaires are pretty cool, too. I think that in the millionaire category, as a matter of fact, what was I hearing? Somebody's worth around $40 million. It's a pretty prominent guy, too. Oh, I forget who it was. We're going to bring on Austin Amarca, Mr. Amarca from Lancaster, California. And we were talking with him about a proposition, and I don't know whether this is going to go any further than the state senate, where you were talking to your state senator, Doggy Hamlin. And Austin, how are you this evening?
Yes, Mr. Henry.
And you talked to Hamlin about what?
A California state law that would require the individual who wins a jackpot of that considerable size, if they have an income, an annual income of less than $40,000 a year, that they be prohibited from giving any interviews and receiving any publicity at all.
All right. Now, people are going to ask right away, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'll tell you what I mean by it. I'm very happy to tell you what I mean by it. I mean that when an individual makes less than the money that we're talking about, would not make someone impoverished, but it certainly is going to it puts them in a lifestyle. It puts them in a class that I guess some people have described as trailer trash, or some people described as white trash. I don't get into those descriptions myself. But it would prohibit them from talking about how poor they are, because I got up this morning and I looked at a box of Eggos that my daughter wanted me to make for her, and I made them. And my wife is asleep, and I go out and I unlock a chain link fence. And I go down to a diner where I have some breakfast, and I read about this guy, and you can almost see a black curtain drop down in front of me. A bill like this, if Mr. Hamlin will, State Senator Hamlin will entertain it, can save a lot of people a lot of really bad, just a lot of bad days. A lot of days getting up and looking at their future stretched out in front of them, and it's nothing. There's nothing there.
I don't know.
I realize it's if I could give you the wording of the bill.
Well, yeah, because I don't really know. Are you saying that you don't want to have, you don't want to have to read about this?
No, it's not that I don't want to have to read it. I get out of bed, and my daughter is eating Eggos, and my home has a flat screen, but I live in about 1,900 square feet, and I have a chain link fence.
And what kind of work do you do?
I do kitchen cabinet work. I do interior work. I do interior carpentry, that kind of work.
Okay. Do you own your own business?
Yes, sir. I have a subcontract, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you may think that sounds good.
Well, I mean, you have your own business.
And I do have my own business. But put that next to a convenience store and a man who... It doesn't have teeth, and I don't know why he doesn't have teeth, and I don't know why he didn't go and get teeth, but I can take a guess that I think is an educated guess, and it might have something to do with speed.
I that's not fair.
It might have something to do with methamphetamine.
I don't think that's fair. Why would you say that?
Because if he has no teeth, and he doesn't, and he's decided he's not going to get any teeth, he probably feels that his drug use, it's not going to be worth it to get teeth, because they're not going to stay in his head for any appreciable length of time. So if you put my life next to his...
All right, so I got to interrupt you here, Austin, all right?
Certainly.
You don't want to hear about a guy winning $258 million. Well, that's what it sounds like to me. And it's not just any guy. You don't want to hear about a guy that's doing worse than you.
Well, I don't know that he's doing worse than me. You know.
Well, you own your own business, and you have said that you suspect this guy uses methamphetamine. You have a home, you have a daughter, you have a wife who is still in bed, so I imagine your wife doesn't have to work, right?
That is not it got anything to do with it, though, Phil.
But can I just ask, does your wife have to work?
No, my wife doesn't have to work, but that's got nothing to do with it. I still, when I get out of bed in the morning, I'm still tired, and I'm sore, and I'd love to spend another couple hours in bed. And I'd like to buy my daughter real pancake mix, not Eggos.
And are you telling me you can't afford real pancake mix?
Sir, it's not that I can't afford it. It's that our lifestyle is such, nobody has the time to make my daughter pancakes. My wife is still asleep. My daughter's going to school. I'm not going to stand there and make pancakes. So my little girl has Eggos.
And does she like the Eggos?
Well, you know how children are. They're going to eat anything you put in front of them.
And well, not necessarily. You know.
She likes them, but she doesn't know that she can have buttermilk pancakes. I'll never get those for her. I'll never have the chance to have those for her because, you know, I don't use methamphetamine to the point where my teeth have fallen from my head, and so I'm reduced to buying a lottery ticket and hoping I hit it big.
You're denigrating this man that won the lottery ticket in Missouri because you have a jealousy.
No, sir, I do not.
Well, then you don't like hearing about his good success because it reminds you of how bad your life is?
In a manner of speaking, but I'm not saying my life is bad. I'm saying that I think it is stretching the bounds of believability to think that any man, any working man, is not going to have his guts tied up in a knot for days after reading about a man with no teeth working at a convenience store winning a $258 million check.
All right, let's take a break here. Vernon, well, you heard him there. Mr. Austin Amarca, he's from Lancaster, California. Now, he's talking to Dougie Hamlin, who's a state senator here in California, about a prohibition. You would not be allowed to speak to the press if you earn less than $40,000 a year and you hit a big jackpot in Powerball. And the reason why you wouldn't be allowed to speak to the press, and we never got to it, but I'm guessing, and I think this is a good guess, is because it would just be rubbing it in for people that work for a living. And you just heard Mr. Amarca say that this man, Chris Shaw of Jefferson City, Missouri, who won $258 million in Powerball and who is missing his front teeth, Mr. Amarca thinks the guy's missing his front teeth because he's a speed freak. He's a meth addict. And that is about as, you know, that's just that's a terrible slander. But he can't feature how a convenience store worker with no teeth wins a jackpot like that. What do you think? Does it bother you to read about someone whose life condition is so low, suddenly winning $258 million in a jackpot? Do you think they should be allowed to speak to the press? Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Austin Amarca. Mr. Amarca is a self-employed craftsman, worker from Lancaster, California, northern L.A. County. He's in touch with State Senator Hamlin about a law saying that if you make less than $40,000 a year and you hit a jackpot, you hit a Powerball jackpot, you hit one of these lottery jackpots that's worth... And how much does the jackpot have to be worth?
$100 million.
All right, so over $100 million, you're not allowed to talk to the press. And the reason for that is, I'm getting the feeling here, sir, is because you put it into your own words. You don't want to call it jealousy.
Mr. Henry, every year, at least twice a year, working men and women who go to work in the morning, come home at night, sometimes they've got a daycare situation, they got to pick up their children, they don't know if they can afford it, they don't have a spouse, they don't have somebody who can help them. A lot of them don't have this health insurance. We hear it all about the health insurance. Every year, at least twice a year, those people taking a bus to work, walking to work sometimes, maybe riding a bicycle to work in the middle of a recession. Every year, we've got to hear at least twice a year about an individual who works, you know, taking money in a peep show or working at a...
Well, that's not fair.
Please, sir, let me just finish and you can make your point.
Okay.
Every year, about twice a year, we hear about an individual who works in a peep show or somebody who is homeless or someone who works in an adult bookstore or somebody who, you know, this kind of deal. They're missing teeth. They live in a trailer, and they get $100 million in a jackpot. So we are regularly assaulted with this, regularly assaulted, working people. The newspapers don't hold back on the information. They don't seem to care. The news media doesn't seem to care. And so a man like me and people like the ones I just mentioned to you have to suck it up and hear about some guy who works at Jumbo's Clown Room, you know, stamping people on the wrist, making sure that they don't come back in and bother the girls with their $20 lap dances. This guy wins a $100, $200 million jackpot. What do you think that does to a guy like me? And here's where I would, you can go ahead and answer if you want to.
Or do you get angry?
I don't understand it. Why would you ask me a question like that? Do I get angry?
All right, well, you get angry then, okay? You know, I'm not doing that much better than anybody else. I hear the same news.
Oh, sir, but you're going to say you're a media representative. You're going to tell me that you somehow have something in common with me? That my pain...
No, but what I'm saying is, yes, people are going to win these jackpots. There's always, that's the reality of life. There's always going to be somebody that's got more. There's always going to be somebody that has less.
But it does not have to be shoved into my face the same way that we've heard about the gay lifestyle. Or we hear about the non-gay lifestyle or any lifestyle. And they stick it up into your face. And this man winning $258 million, if this man... winning that $258 million jackpot were a gay man in a nightclub, he'd be wearing a jock strap and he'd have it full in my face.
Very bizarre comparison, sir.
I apologize, Mr. Hendrick, for what I'm saying to you.
Very bizarre comparison. Very beside the point.
No, it's not beside the point. It is an ongoing insult to working men and women that they've got to open up a newspaper and read about a man with no teeth winning a jackpot. Now, that's about as clear as I can be.
Do you believe that the newspapers are actually... This law, what kind of a chance do you think it has of passing? Because we're talking about freedom of information, the public's right to know.
They edit and otherwise censor material all the time, sir. You know it.
Well, they edit and censor material that may be sensitive in terms of, I don't know, national security. They edit and censor material that may be sensitive in terms of a person's privacy. But I have never, and they might even have edited and censored this material, this man winning this $258 million jackpot, had he wanted privacy. Because, you know, he doesn't have to give his name to the press. But the fact is, they're not going to edit or censor material to protect you from the good fortune of other people.
I disagree with you, and Dogie Hamlin disagrees with you. We both feel that we've got a very good chance, an excellent chance, of having this bill see the light of day. The only thing that is going to keep this bill in abeyance is this guy from San Francisco, who I heard he's a gay that wants to legalize marijuana, and they've got a lot of these marijuana people who want to do that before they pass my bill. We could have this buried under this gay and his marijuana. But barring that, we've got an excellent chance of having this bill pass. And for the first time in my life, I won't have to open up a newspaper and hear about a man with no teeth. You know, so this doesn't make any sense to you. And I'm hearing you laugh.
It doesn't make any sense. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, it makes me feel really good.
Phil Hendry.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Say something about this Arizona immigration law, and what I'm about to say will make perfect sense, and it will, bud. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know, watch out just because you think it is.
What I'm going to say is going to make perfect sense. Don't worry about it. It doesn't have to make sense to you.
Well, what's that mean?
Because you may not understand what it is I'm saying, okay?
Well, what do you think? I think it's racism.
No, it ain't racism. God. There isn't one silly mother out there. I almost said the F word, you know.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that, man.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You did.
Ooh.
You almost said F.
Ooh. Did I? There isn't one person out there opposed to this, and I heard my very good friend Randy Rhodes today. And Randy's talking about somebody she knows, and the person's a Mexican, and she's got 9 kids, and that means she's automatically going to be pulled over because they're going to think that she's an illegal, and so on and so forth. And there may be some legitimacy to that view. To believe that, naturally, you have to believe that police officers are all really sort of drooling idiots. That you have to believe that a cop is just a drooling imbecile who, the minute he sees a Mexican, he thinks, illegal. Now, maybe the governor of Arizona's like that. Maybe even that Joe Arpaio, or whatever the hell his name is, maybe he's like that. Maybe, you know, and I love you, Randy, maybe you're like that. Although Randy, actually, she was in the military, so maybe she knows more than I do. Maybe there's a lot of people like that. But the fact is, cops are trained... For what? They're trained to, first of all, protect us. They have to recognize if a law is being broken. They have to know which law is being broken. They have to recognize if there's some possibility of a felony being committed. If the whole reasonable suspicion thing. They have to recognize if this is a reasonable, you know, suspicious activity. Is it reasonable to think that every person you see who is of Hispanic descent or someone that you may think is Hispanic descent, for instance, you may be looking at a Jewish person, dark haired, dark curly hair. Maybe you think that they're from Iran and they could very well be from Israel. You may be looking at a dark skinned person like my friend Theis out in Orlando, Florida. We all thought he was Mexican. He's German. You know, you could be looking at my father. My father was a very dark-haired and dark-eyed guy. A lot of people thought he was Latin. He was Scottish. But what I'm saying is this. I think when we look at this Arizona law, which is essentially this, folks, the police are being empowered to, if they suspect that someone is illegal, they're empowered to stop and question, okay? And you have to have, if you are a immigrant, I think, the illegal immigrant, let me just look at this, man, because I don't want to say the wrong thing here. The bill sent to the Republican governor by the GOP legislature would make it a crime under state law to be in the country illegally. Okay. So it would also require local police officers to question people about their immigration status if there is reason to suspect they are illegal. So I think you have to carry your legal documents on you. I think I read that. They have 460,000 illegals in Arizona. That is an estimate. They have a problem with drug trafficking. They have had kidnappings. They have a situation going on in Arizona. All right. Arizona doesn't want to become California. And not that California has people who are committing crimes, illegals who are committing crimes. Not the case at all. But what we do have is a social service safety net that is just about worn right through. can't afford it, right? And, of course, it's very convenient because when you say to people, you want an example of government doing something right? The University of California system. Oh, yeah, but you're broke. Well, the state's broke. The schools aren't broke. The state's broke, okay? Well, then why are they cutting all the money? Oh, God, never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, but it is true.
No, it's not true. So what happens is the following thing. Cops must be stupid because cops are going to stop everybody that looks like a Mexican because cops are dumb because they. What else are they going to do? What can they do? That's what I would do. Well, you're not a cop, are you? How are they going to do that? I don't know how they're going to do that. That must mean they're going to stop every Mexican they see. Well, let me just say this. You know, cops don't just get thrown out there every day and, okay, here's the law, go enforce it. They actually have roll call and they have these meetings and seminars and they have, you know, they have these working groups and they talk to each other and they talk to their superiors and they figure out how to best enforce a law. And some laws are very difficult to enforce and some cops have had a very difficult time with it. And, of course, you know what the end result of that is. And we have all kinds of controversy because, chokehold? No, maybe not a chokehold. How about a taser? No, not a taser. Okay, how about our dum-dum bullet? How about a rubber bullet? How about a... Oh, a taser, that's too violent. What's next, man? What do you want me to do? Use a... I got it. How about this? Feather-stuffed pillows, like that Monty Python bit during the Spanish Inquisition. They were torturing people with pillows. So, in any event... Cops will be sent out there. Now, I refuse to get buffaloed. And what happens is people will say, this is a fait accompli, man. It's racist. And anybody that doesn't believe it's racist is stupid. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to play that, you know. It's the same thing as people saying. And if you don't believe there's man-made global warming is being caused, you know, it is happening and it's going to destroy the planet, well, then you're just like you're into the Flat Earth Society. You know, you can insult me all you want, but that's not making an argument. You can call me a racist, you can call me a flat earther, you can call me a denier, you can try to turn it into something really offensive like I'm somehow a Holocaust denier, huh, whatever that is. You know, how does that make me a Holocaust denier that I don't necessarily, you know, I didn't jump on board with climate change. But people, they'll do anything they can because if they can't argue, if they can't present their case, they'll insult. Well, the thing with the illegal immigration problem in this country, at least in the state of Arizona, they have decided that they're going to enforce the law. And I don't give a damn if some brain surgeon says that that's not what cops do. Bull crap. What do you mean that's not what cops do? Oh, they don't go around. Well, they are in Arizona. It's a violation of the law. That's what they're doing. Get with it. Now, I know that people will say, well, you're a racist. They will say that because they can't make the argument. Unfortunately, this is taking place in Arizona. Arizona is not necessarily, in my opinion, the brightest bulb on the 50-bulb Christmas tree that is America. Arizona's got some nice spots. Tucson, that's about it. Oh, Flagstaff, there's a few, you know. Phoenix ain't it. They've got a few dimwits there. They've got some people that are eating with, you know, they're eating with both hands. They don't know what the utensils are for. Sure, there's a few people that probably wipe with the newspaper. Every state's got them. In Arizona, they may have a higher concentration of them. I don't know. But that doesn't necessarily mean that this is a bad law. And I, at the end of the day, I got to tell you, I don't think it is. You have to monitor it very carefully, but I think it's an insult. I think it's a slander to assume automatically that cops are so stupid, not only in Arizona, but all over the country. They're so stupid and so racist that they're going to hassle every Mexican they see. You must have some low opinion of police officers. And, you know, it's like when we talked to Amy Goodman when she was at the in St. Paul. Amy Goodman, the famous NPR Amy Goodman, the woman that's on television, Amy Goodman, right? And there she was trying to cause a problem with the St. Paul cops. Working class guys. Working class guys. Family men. Children. They're in a union, Amy. A union, you know? Trying to do their job. They ask you to stay off the sidewalk. You go ahead and get on the sidewalk because you want a confrontation so you can say on your show the next day, wow, they handcuffed me and everything. And it was really painful. Because apparently cops don't qualify in the mind of some people as working class, blue collar, union members. Somehow, cops are different, right? They're not garbage collectors. They're not teachers. They're not mine workers. When it comes to cats like Amy Goodman and other people that would scream racist at the drop of a hat, and I might, you know, make fun of Amy's, the space between her front teeth and her hair, does that make me a racist?
Yeah.
All right. Probably make you anti-Semitic. Shut up. But when it comes to cops, they don't get that kind of consideration. When it comes to cops, everybody thinks the worst of them. So-called progressives, so-called defenders of the working class and the working man. When it comes to cops, nobody gives them a break. They're stupid. They're pigs. They're going to be hassling everybody. They're racist. Everybody they see that's a Mexican, they're going to arrest. Everybody they see that looks got dark eyes and dark skin, they're going to pull out of their car. And so on and so forth, right? Right, even before this law has been signed into the books, man, even before this has become a real thing, cops are going to abuse this. That's precisely what's going on around here. And I would just put to you that that's not a very respectful point of view. I would also put to you that laws are made to be enforced. And if you're not supposed to be in this country illegally, your ass is not supposed to be in this country illegally. I don't give a damn which way you bust it down. Your ass doesn't belong here. Yeah, I know there's a whole bunch of people. Yeah, I know, man, that they're all pretty much assimilated to the workforce. I know we got our work cut out for us. I know there's all kinds of problems. But your ass
don't belong here.
That's right. After signing the bill, here is Governor Jan Brewer defending her decision.
I have prayed for strength, and I have prayed for our state.
Yeah.
I've decided to sign Senate Bill 1070 into law because, though many people disagree, I firmly believe it represents what's best for Arizona. Border-related violence and crime due to illegal immigration are critically important issues for the people of our state.
Uh-huh.
To my administration and to me as your governor and as a citizen, there is no higher priority than protecting the citizens of Arizona.
Wow. All right, so wait a minute. So anyway, here is Brewer. Didn't protect the state there.
Man.
Anyway, here is Brewer taking a question from a reporter about a concern over racial profiling in the bill. Brewer mentions ASPOST, which is the Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board.
ASPOST?
Not ASPOST, ASPOST.
Race and ethnicity may not be used as the sole factor. It does allow this to be used as a factor. How can that not lead to some form of racial profile?
No different than any other reasonable suspicion, Howie. I mean, we have to trust our law enforcement. It's a
right
simple
there.
Reality. And, you know, I'm issuing an executive order to AZ Post. The rules will be laid out. I expect that report to be returned to me in May and go into effect so that everybody understands just exactly what is required. You know, it is so important that we are carefully implement what this law does, and that is my intent.
Here's a reporter asking Brewer how she could determine what an illegal looks like. They're really going to hammer this, and the essence of the question is, there's certain laws you can't enforce.
I do not know. I do not know what an illegal immigrant looks like. I can tell you that I think that there are people in Arizona that assume they know what an illegal immigrant looks like. I don't know if they know that for a fact or not. But I know that if AZ Post gets themselves together, works on this law, puts down the description, that the law will be enforced civilly, fairly, and without discriminatory points to it.
So she's talking about this Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board. That's exactly what we were just, I hadn't even heard this audio, but that's what we were talking about. The cops get together and they decide, well, how do we enforce this law and what is the best way to go about doing this so we don't get into a major hassle every time we pick somebody up and so forth. I think this law, I think people are going to be surprised. I think the law is going to be enforced fairly. I think it's going to be forced across the board. Equally, I do think that there may be some people who are trying to create a problem. I don't doubt that there will be some kind of group of people who will go into the state of Arizona and try to create a hassle, but I think they're going to be embarrassed. I think that this will probably, and this doesn't, by the way, doesn't let Arizona off the hook with me in terms of the relative lack of gray matter they got there. However, Today, President Obama weighed in on the bill and illegal immigration, a whole bunch of junk.
Our failure to act responsibly at the federal level will only open the door to irresponsibility by others. And that includes, for example, the recent efforts in Arizona, which threatened to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans, as well as the trust between police and their communities that is so crucial to keeping us safe. In fact, I've instructed members of my administration to closely monitor the situation and examine the civil rights and other implications of this legislation. But if we continue to fail to act at a federal level, we will continue to see misguided efforts opening up around the country.
Okay, so here with President Obama's dead wrong. He's already assuming the cops are going to be violating civil rights. He has the Justice Department already with its eyeballs peeled for something like that. So he is wrong, but he's right about this. If the feds don't do anything, yeah, sure, the states have got to protect themselves. So that was, you know, score one for him and one in the deficit department. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up because I frankly think it's not going to be the last time we see it. I think other states will begin to move in that direction. Other border states will move in that direction. I don't think California will be one of them because when it comes to law enforcement in California, forget it. There's some laws they'll enforce and there's some, forget it. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with our closing segment. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.
Believe this story, but I'm going to read it to you anyway, and then I got another one here, and then we're going to take the weekend off, and then we'll see you guys on Monday. By the way, I'd like to invite you to our day six video cast tomorrow night, well, tonight, at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. We generally do a sixth day video cast on our website. Last week it was only about 15 minutes, and it had to do with crucifixion, Spartacus, and the radio business. It was weird. But tomorrow night we'll do a full hour, or tonight I should say. In Naples, Florida, luxury hotels aim to fulfill every guest's needs, dreams, and desires. This is the story from Naples. But what if that includes being served only by white employees who sound American? Well, naturally, then they would. I'm kidding. One Florida beach resort allegedly granted just such a wish last month, entering into its computer system a guest's request that he and his family not be served by people of color or staff with foreign accents, according to a federal lawsuit filed this week. And it was the Ritz-Carlton. The Ritz-Carlton, which is a terrific hotel chain. It's like a five-star. And the employees of the Ritz walk around with their little card in their pack in their pocket that tells them how to greet guests. It tells them their, you know, how to conduct themselves. It's like the Ritz is almost like the Disneyland of hotels, or I don't know, whatever you would imagine to be the creme de la creme, top of the line in terms of service. The Ritz-Carlton's great. So that's why this is very surprising to me. The posh Ritz-Carlton in Naples, Florida, is being sued by one of its current employees, a black man of Haitian descent, who says the hotel discriminated against him by not allowing him to serve the family at its restaurant in March. Wadner Tranchant, age 40. What are you looking at?
What, you think you're all French and everything about the way what you did it?
Are you an idiot or something? What did you just say?
Talk about the accent.
I said Tranchant, okay? I guess he's French.
Yeah, but that, you don't know.
Oh, are you French?
No.
Well, how would you pronounce that?
Tranchant.
Because you're an idiot, that's why.
Well, I'm not French.
That's for sure. Wadner. How about that for a name?
Yeah, that's bad. That could be FCC.
Because the guy's name's Wadner, huh?
Yeah.
Wadner Tranchant said in the lawsuit obtained by ABC News, which ABC then futzed with it and changed some things and made it even worse. No, they didn't. Obtained by ABC News said that the upscale resort created a work environment that was hostile or abusive. Tranchant still works at the resort, according to his lawyer, Michael McDonald, who would not comment on the suit because he hasn't read it, hasn't written it, and frankly hasn't even met his client yet. But he did see this in the news, and so he immediately said, I'm a lawyer. When reached on the phone by ABC News, Mr. Tranchaw also refused comment, naturally, because this is now filed and it's ongoing litigation and nobody's going to talk. His suit filed in the U.S. District Court in Florida seeks more than $75,000. Are you kidding? Well, see, they have to put a number on it. 75 grand is probably the minimum number. I guess it may be the minimum number now in U.S. District Court. It used to be 50. 75,000 doesn't mean anything. This guy is going to go for a lot of bread. Don't even worry about it. And the writs will pay. This is not good. If it's true, if it's true. Obviously, we can't comment on pending lawsuit. However, it is the policy of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. We don't tolerate harassment, discrimination, any kind of that jazz, so forget about it, said Vivian A. Deutschel, spokeswoman for the hotel chain, who happens to be a Jew. Now, I'm kidding. We'll more of this garbage tomorrow night on our videocast. Phil Henry Show, produced and engineered by Ralph Rodriguez.
Phil Henry.